So even if your builder worked out, you knew you were going to have the one builder, nothing was going to go wrong, I would highly recommend that you have full transparency on these things. Regardless of what type of contract you have, if you have a fixed fee contract or a cost plus contract, I think it is best that you insist you have full transparency. You see all of the subs numbers, you know exactly what the builder's percentage is, what their profit margin is, what their general conditions are, and you see here are all the numbers. I have a better option than the dinky RAL. Let me show you how to create a luxury new construction mansion of an assisted living. When I started out in assisted living, nobody had a roadmap for how to build and operate a luxury assisted living. As I grow my business and provide you tips and strategies for you to succeed. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Assisted Living Investing. This is Brett Schottkavis. I build and operate memory care mansions. And I want to share today some lessons learned, some kicks in the face that I got, and how I was able to recover from it. So as we are building out our neighborhood of mansions, we were actually about to break ground. This is a couple months ago, and my builder quit. Like, we were right at the start line, right? Like, we had the builder, it was approved by the bank. We had all our hard numbers. We were like contract about signed, like ready to go. And then the whole thing hit the fan. So I want to share, because this is something that I learned some fantastic lessons on. I was able to land on my feet and actually end up in a better spot with a new builder and actually save some money with this kind of deal. So let me unpack this for you. So we're working with a local builder here in Georgetown, Texas, and we're building two of our four mansions, right? We have 8 acres. We're building two of them in phase one with all the infrastructure, utilities, site work on phase one, and then we'll come back later and build phase two. So it's actually a really big project, right? Two of these mansions, they're about 10,000 square feet each, and then a whole bunch of site work and utilities. And so I had been working with this local builder who has a great reputation in the city. We had been spending probably 9 months together because I got them involved early. I got a bunch of different bids. I found out, hey, this company, this guy here, I like working with. They're very trustworthy. They got a great reputation in the community. They built a lot of great stuff. And so I got them involved on the front side. We got some rough, kind of loose bids, and then we continued to work together for several months as I'm going through permits, as I'm getting different comments back from the city and adjusting for those. So there was a lot of back and forth, and I really trusted these guys. I liked these guys. And then all of a sudden, things got a little weird. I started getting communication from the head guy of this building company that, like, he's asking for kind of unrealistic draw requests, unrealistic expectations, things that we had not talked about before. He was like, hey, here's the way we're going to have to do it. Or, you know, I'm not going to be able to do the deal. And it's like, wow, this is kind of strange, right? Like, we had been talking, we've been pretty open and honest about how we're going to do these things. And it was just coming out of left field. And so the main guy that I had my contact with, the one of the builder's employees that I was working one-on-one with, doing all the value engineering, working all the bid kind of stuff, called me up and he's like, hey, Brett, I just want you to know that the main partner sold. He sold, and this new guy that you're getting all this information from, who's asking for all these different requests, he's the new partner. He bought the main guy out, right? And the main guy is gone. Like, so it ended up being that we were just about to break ground. We were like 3 weeks away, and the main partner for this building company sold to someone else who actually had no experience with commercial real estate, had no experience building what we were building. And the guy, the new guy, was like, well, you know, we have this kind of agreement, you know, we'll do it. But then he started changing the terms. He started being like, well, here's our bid from our subs, but our fee is going to increase. He wanted an extra 5% on several million dollars. And it was like, okay, well, where did this come from, right? Right out of left field. And the gist of it was the builder didn't want to do the deal. The new guy didn't have experience in it, wasn't in his wheelhouse. He wasn't comfortable with the deal. And the old guy didn't want to tell me, hey, by the way, I'm selling the company. Kind of not a move I appreciated. And so now I'm sitting here like, well, okay, we're at the final line here to, you know, go sign loan docs, get everything ready, break ground. And now I got an option here of a builder who has no experience in this, who kind of doesn't really want to do it. At least that's what his employee kind of bluntly told me, and someone who's saying, well, I will do it, but I'm charging an extra 5% on my fee. And it's like, man, like, that's a crappy place to be, right? I was right there, so gung-ho, so excited, been through all these hoops, and now it's like, crap, I can't reasonably work with this guy. He doesn't even want to do it. He does not have my best interest in mind. So now what do I do? Now, here is one of the lessons that I learned, because I had been working with this builder for about 9 months. They had put in many, many hours, maybe pushing 100 hours on my project, right? And they probably had a lot of overhead towards this. So they said to me, hey, Brett, you know what? We've done all these things. You're getting close. But if we're going to work together on this, I know we're not ready to sign the contract yet, but if we're going to do this, I need a commitment from you. And I need a, you know, a written commitment and a financial commitment. And so, you know, I wasn't sure about this. 20K is not a drop in the bucket. So I went to our third-party construction consultant, the one who reviews our contracts, who goes over the scope of work, who's going to come and check the project month by month. And I'm like, hey, here's what they're requesting. Does this seem reasonable? Is this kind of in line with the industry? And they're like, yeah, that's pretty reasonable. They probably have more expenses than 20 grand if you've said they spent this many hours on them. I'm like, all right, well, it kind of is what it is, right? We were right at the finish line. And I'm like, okay, here's the check for 20 grand. I sign the LOI. And then I find out like 2 weeks later, right? Oh, by the way, we just sold. So I kind of thought that was a little shady on the builder's part. But nonetheless, so I reached out to my attorney and said, hey, you know, what's the deal here, right? I just signed this agreement. I paid him 20 grand. Now they're changing the terms on me. And he pretty much said that, you know, it was a non-binding agreement, that I didn't have any recourse for it. And, I, you know, the gist of it was I was kind of SOL. So now I am what I think is about to start construction, and now I'm clearly delayed. I have apparently lost 20 grand, and I have no builder, and I'm supposed to be starting to break ground like the following month. And it's like, crap, now what do I do? Working fantastic for me. But let me tell you why. Here are some of the important things that I did along the way. So I said that we had been working with this builder for 9 months. And one of the things that's vitally important for me is open and honest transparency. I want to see all of your numbers. I'm going to show you, here's everything on my side. I want to see, what are your numbers? What are the subs coming back? What are all these bids looking like? And to kind of expand on that, I don't want to see one number. Don't show me the bottom number at the bottom of the page, right? I mean, that's important, but I want to see every other number above that. I want to see every single sub. What's my concrete number? What's my framing number? What's my plumbing, my electrical, my sheetrock, everything all the way down the line. And not only do I want to see those numbers, I want to see all of those itemized scope of work. I want to see everything that is in the concrete bid. I want to see every piece of lumber. I want to see all the labor and the materials broken out. And this was not unreasonable, because this was not our first and only conversation about a number. We had been working together through these things as I'm getting my permits finalized, as I'm getting comments back from the city and saying, hey, we need to change this. So let's revisit this sub. So we had been working together and going through and saying, hey, you know what? Let's do some value engineering on these things, right? Let's get the framing back. Can we go back to the engineer? Can we do any type of value engineering on this? What about our slab? What about our windows, our doors, our roof trusses? So many different things. Literally every single item on our mansions, I went through one at a time. There's probably 150 of them. And we looked at pricing and materials and labor costs on every single one of these. And we talked through, how can we create the best product for the least amount of money, right? Here are the things that are important for me and I want to spend more money on it. These are things that I kind of fluff and will make no additional money for sales. Those are not important for me. So we went through all of these things. So for that context, I literally had every single sub's bid, right? I had it actually in hand, an emailed copy of every single sub. I knew who was doing the framing. I had multiple bids on a lot of these things. So that put me in a phenomenal position, because I knew trade by trade, contractor by contractor, who was going to be building out my mansion. And I could use that moving forward. So even if your builder worked out, you knew you were going to have the one builder, nothing was going to go wrong, I would highly recommend that you have full transparency on these things. Regardless of what type of contract you have, if you have a fixed fee contract or a cost plus contract, I think it is best that you insist you have full transparency. You see all of the subs numbers, you know exactly what the builder's percentage is, what their profit margin is, what their general conditions are, and you see here are all the numbers. So now I had all these bids and I knew all the subcontractors that I liked, but I did not have a builder. I didn't have someone to manage the whole project and put it together. So I reached back out to some of the builders that I had talked to, you know, a year prior to that, and I decided not to work with them. So I reached back out to some of them And I reached back out to one or two new builders that I had met along the way. So I said, here's the situation. We were at the finish line. The bank had already approved the builder. We already had a full scope of work, full bid, but now I need someone to come in and rebid this whole project. So what I did is I went and got three new people, three new builders, and I said, hey, I want you to bid this. I did not give them all my subs info, right? I did not tell them, here is all the different numbers that we have. I gave them a rough idea. Hey, here's where I was at. I need to be here or better. So from that, I started with three. About one or two of those people kind of said, hey, Brett, you know, this is probably not fitting after a few weeks, because it takes legitimately at least 30 days for them to go through all those different subs. There's probably 30 different subs. So it takes a full commitment of here's many hours to get all of this work done. So I have this one guy who I'm vibing well with. He's a new builder that I hadn't bid from before, and he gets me all the numbers back in about a month, and about half of the roughly 30 subs, his numbers were better, and he knew those subs, he trusted them, and about half of his numbers, they were higher than the numbers that I previously had. So this put me in a phenomenal position, because ultimately the number he got back to me was somewhere about 250 grand or so higher. So I didn't want to spend an extra 250 grand, but I said, hey, you know what? I like you. I think we're vibing well. I want to work with you. I've seen your other stuff that you've built in the city. And let's talk through this, because you have these 15 subs that you've worked with, you have great pricing on. And then here are some of the other ones that I think are too high. These are the subs we were going to go work with, right? Here's everything line item by line item. Do you know these subs? And we're not in a big town here, right? Like everyone knows everyone. He's like, yeah, I've worked with like almost three quarters of these guys. He's like, oh, I can call all these people. I know them, right? Like, cool. So to fast forward, right? It was about another 2 weeks. And then we recruited about half of those other subs, combined them all together. And we ended up having a full new team, a new bid that was about $100,000+ cheaper than the first bid that I have. And so this was actually several months ago. So the new builder, he's doing phenomenal. We're building our neighborhood of mansions. It's coming along on budget, on time, going fantastic. So if you want to see, I put updates on my social all the time. You can see here's the neighborhood. Here's what we're building, these memory care mansions, and see really behind the scenes. Here's what it's like from the owner's perspective managing this project. Well, that's it for this episode of Assist Living Investing. Follow me on social media, see the progress of our mansions coming to life, and I will see you on the next one.